in your Bibles tonight, Nehemiah chapter number 6, Nehemiah 6. God's put in Nehemiah's heart a great burden to repair the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah leaves a cushy job in the palace of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he makes his way to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. And when he goes to do this great work that God's called him to do, he finds out what lots of people find out when they determine to live for God with their lives, that not everybody's for that. As a matter of fact, all through the book of Nehemiah, we watch Nehemiah face opposition to doing the right thing. I'll just have you know something. If you're trying to do the right thing and you're facing opposition, you are probably going in the right direction. You are in good company. You can see this happen all through the Bible with different Bible characters, Nehemiah being one who faces opposition often, but also one like the Lord Jesus, who faced great opposition. This morning, even as we looked at Luke chapter 4, Jesus announced his rightful place and rightful position as the Christ, and he tells the truth and speaks the truth in love to his home synagogue. And guess what they do? They try to run him out of town and push him off a rock cliff. And I'll just have you know that life is met with opposition. And when you do what's right, you're going to face opposition. But don't be discouraged, because God is faithful and we can trust him. And we need to determine tonight, like Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter number 6, that he was doing a great work and he would not come down off of the wall. He wasn't going to quit. He wasn't going to stop. And I want to challenge you tonight, don't quit. Don't quit. And keep on serving the Lord and trusting the Lord. Tonight's message is titled this: I am doing a great work, I cannot come down. I'm doing a great work, I cannot come down. Let's read together chapter 6, the book of Nehemiah. The Bible says in verse number 1, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehatbeel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple. Let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished. In the 25th day of the month Elu, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them, for there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Now, why don't you look with me in verse number 3. In verse number 3, Nehemiah is met up once again with the threats and the trouble of Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. And Nehemiah sends him word. Here's what he says: I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. I love the fact that Nehemiah had decided that the work of the Lord was a great work. I want to encourage you to know that if your desire is to please the Lord with your life, if you desire to know Him and His Word, if you desire to live for Him, if you desire to lead your family to the Lord, if you desire to stand up for Jesus, you have chosen a great work. Nehemiah decided that a while back that the best thing that Nehemiah could do with his life was to do the work of the Lord. Don't forget it. You may not be a preacher or a missionary, but you are called of God to serve the Lord, and the work that God has given to you is a great work, and never discredit the work that God wants you to do for Him and His glory. We all are commissioned of God to engage in the eternal work or the work of God. And I pray that you'll take serious the work that God has given you to do. What's the work God has given me to do? You may ask. He's given you the work of keeping your heart right with Him. He's given you the work of studying and knowing and loving His Word. He's given you the work of investing in the lives of other people for the cause of Christ. He's given you the work to serve Him. And I pray that you'll take to heart the fact that the work God has given you to do is a great work. Nehemiah said, the work God's given me is a great work. I'm doing a great work. And to all the distractions and all the trouble and all the pestering, he said, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. He says, I'm not coming off this wall to answer my critics. I'm not coming off this wall to run in fear. I'm not coming off this wall because I'm intimidated. I'm just going to keep on working for the glory of God. And I want to challenge you to do the same thing. I cannot come down. Let's look at a few things. You see, the enemy constantly wanted to distract. He wanted to destroy. He wanted to hurt. And he wanted to worry Nehemiah. And there's a few tactics that are used in this passage of Scripture that the devil's still using today. And the devil wants to use in your life to cause you to stop the work that God has for you with your life. The first thing that the devil is using, that the enemies of Nehemiah are using in this text, is distraction. Number one is this: don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. We'll read together verse number 1. The Bible says, it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. He says, when these guys heard that we had finished the wall, they've heard we finished the wall. He said, actually, we hadn't completely finished it. I still had a couple gates to hang. I love the honesty here of Nehemiah. He said, they thought we were finished. We weren't completely finished, but we're close. And here we see them again, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. It just seems like about every other chapter, these knuckleheads are showing up and they're giving grief to Nehemiah and the workers on the wall. Here they show up again. He said, they've heard that we're building the wall. We hear there's no breach left. They've come to a place, the enemies of God have come to a place where they see that God's work is working, and so they need to try one more time to distract God's worker. And so here's what they say in verse number 2. Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Here's what Sanballat and Tobiah decided to do. They said, clearly, we've not been able to stop this work, but perhaps, just perhaps, we can distract Nehemiah and cause the work to slow and cease. They call for Nehemiah and they say to Nehemiah, let's go somewhere and meet together. Let's have a meeting. Let's have a meeting of the minds. And they wanted to make Nehemiah feel like he was one of them, one of the leaders, one of the elite. But the ultimate goal was to distract Nehemiah from the work that God had caused him to do. They said, let us go. I like the name of this little town. Come, let us meet together, verse number 2, in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. I think it's kind of fun that Nehemiah said, oh no, to oh no. And I want you to know, when the devil tries to distract you, when others try to distract you and discourage you from serving the Lord, to turn you away from the work that God has given you to, you say, oh no, I'm not falling for that trap. I'm not going to be distracted. You know that distraction is one of the main things that keeps Christian people from living their best life for the glory of God. Distracted by things that maybe in themselves are not sinful, but distracted by things that take the place of God, that pull them off the wall, that pull them away from the work. Distracted. Often age is a distraction. We're too young to serve the Lord. We're too middle-aged to serve the Lord. We're too old to serve the Lord. If you're not careful, your whole life, your age will be an excuse for not serving the Lord. You need to say, oh no, I'm not going to be distracted from serving the Lord. I'm going to serve God with my life. Distraction. The enemy wanted to distract him. Nehemiah knew better. He said, they thought to do me mischief, verse number 3. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Let me tell you something. The distractions, not only will they come, but they will persistently come. They will persistently come. And I want to challenge you every time you're tempted to leave the work, every time you're called on to leave the work, to stop serving the Lord, stop being faithful, you say, oh no, not me. I'll not be distracted. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Distraction was one of the ploys that the enemy tried to use. The second one, number 2, was intimidation. The second one was intimidation. It's an interesting thing what happens next. When Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem understand that they're not going to distract him and woo him into their traps, they try another method. This method, the first method, was one that was a little bit softer. It was distraction. The second method is blackmail and intimidation. Here's what they do. The Bible says in verse number 5, then sent Sanballat his servant unto me, in like manner, the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand. Now, here comes Sanballat. And Sanballat is toting an open letter. He's got an open letter. The difference between a closed letter and an open letter. An open letter is something that you pass around so that everybody can see it. We want you to see what Nehemiah is doing. The open letter that came from Sanballat was full of error and things that weren't true. So here comes the servant of Sanballat toting his open letter with an emphasis on blackmailing and intimidating Nehemiah. Here's what it said, verse 6, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. The first thing the letter said is, Sanballat has written in this open letter, he says, look, this letter says that the heathen and Gashmu, and there's lots of people talking about the fact that you are trying, Nehemiah, you are trying to lead this group of people in a rebellion. That's why you've built the wall, so you can be the king. At this time, the nation of Israel were captive to Babylon. They're captive to an enemy. And an insurrection would have been a threat to the society around them. And so Nehemiah's enemies, they wanted to intimidate him. They said, look, we've got this letter, and we're telling that everybody's talking about it, that Nehemiah is wanting to be the king. Nehemiah has built the wall so he can rise up in rebellion against the authority of the day. They want to intimidate him, no doubt. When you read an open letter that slanders and scorns and tells things that are false about you, but one thing that makes you want to quit. Now, I'll tell you something. There are people out there that are cruel and wicked and use of the devil who want to intimidate you from serving the Lord. Don't you fall for it. Just keep living for Jesus. There are folks who will say something like this to young people. I say, if you decide to do God's will and obey the Lord with your life, if you take serious this Jesus thing, if you take serious the fundamentals of the faith, you take serious God's word, if you do that, you're going to be left in your tracks in the year 2024. You're going to be left out. That's old-fashioned. It's not relevant today. Let me tell you something. That's a lie. There's nothing more relevant than the Word of God. It's alive and well, and God's way is best, and you should live and determine to live for the glory of God, and do not be intimidated by the world to say, I'm going to quit serving Jesus because I'm afraid that it might not work out in the world in which we live today. Let me tell you what's not going to work out in the world in which we live today. Anybody that rebels against God and God's word and God's way and Jesus Christ the Savior, that's the thing that will not work and will not work out in the world today. If you want to take on a losing venture, then you rebel against God. If you want to live for the glory of God and watch God do something, you honor God's word, God's way, and you'll find out that God will always prove himself right and faithful. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated by media. Don't be intimidated by education. Don't be intimidated by friends. Don't be intimidated by political parties. Don't be intimidated by anybody to keep from serving God. Live for Jesus and trust in Him. Let me tell you something. If you're trusting in God, you're trusting in the Creator. You're trusting in the Savior. You're trusting in the most powerful there is. And choosing God is always right. Don't be intimidated. They said, here's our open letter. Ha, 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 Nehemiah, we're telling everybody that you want to be a king. Look what else we're telling folks. Verse 7. In the letter it says, thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. What else did they say? In the letter, they said, let me tell you what else we're going to tell everybody so they can see it. We're going to tell everybody, Nehemiah, you've been hiring prophets to preach a message to all the people that you are to be the next king. Isn't that terrible? Nehemiah, he was as honest and humble and right as anybody you ever read about. And yet these low-down, good-for-nothing dogs come and they want to put this bad reputation and hang it over Nehemiah's head. Let me tell you something. You let people talk. You please God and let people talk. You please God and let the rumors go. You please God and don't be intimidated. You know what the devil wants to do? The devil wants you to intimidate you so much that you just hide in a corner instead of living for God and His glory. And Nehemiah, he stands up to this mess and he trusts in the Lord. I love what happens. They said, look, we want you to come and talk to us. We want you to come off that wall. We want to take counsel with you. If you don't, we're going to use this open letter. The Bible says, verse 8, then I sent unto him, saying, "There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart." You've dreamed this up. It's not true. Verse number 9, "For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." He says, look, it's just not true. I love this about Nehemiah. It reminds me of a famous proverb. The proverb says this: "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." And I see Nehemiah, he just stands up bold. You'll be scared of your shadow if you live in sin. But if you keep your heart right with God, God will give you boldness. Now, we pray for boldness. I pray God will give you boldness to stand up for God at school, to stand up for God at work. I pray God will give you boldness. We need boldness. And Nehemiah said, what you've said is not true. I will not be intimidated from doing the work of God. And he prays, and the prayer that he prays is so sweet. He says, Lord, oh God, verse 9, strengthen my hands. Oh, I think it's so good when we get to places in our lives where there are enemies trying to distract us and intimidate us, and it drives us to pray and trust. And Nehemiah, I know, found great strength on this day when he called out to God and said, oh God, strengthen my hand. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you'll face this week, and you probably don't either. But I know if you're going to live for God, it's going to take some boldness and courage. I know it's going to take a little effort, and I know it's going to be worth it. And I know God wants you to keep doing the great work and not come down off the wall. And maybe this week, the one thing you need to pray is, oh God, strengthen my hands. Oh God, strengthen my hands. Lord, give me the strength to fight another round. I love that about Myron Guiler at Marietta Bible College. For years and years, he's battled with sickness. We figured he'd have been dead about 35 years ago, but he's still at it. Brother Guiler. And you know what his prayer is and what he says to the students and anybody that asks him? He's saying, I'm praying the Lord will let me fight another round. I want to fight another round. And I pray that God will give you that courage. Oh, God, strengthen my hands. Oh, God, strengthen my hands. Instead of saying, I quit. Instead of, I had enough. Say, oh, God, strengthen my hands. Don't be intimidated. Don't be distracted, number one. Don't be intimidated, number two. Number three, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Something that the devil wants to use and the enemy wants to use in regards to your serving the Lord is fear. We get so fearful, don't we? Afraid we might make the wrong decision. This is something that I deal with in my own heart often and talk to lots of people about. How many of you are paralyzed with fear that you might do the wrong thing? I understand. But let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. Do you know that if your heart's desire, and I'm not talking about perfect, I'm just talking about you really, I want to do God's will with my life. If your heart's desire is to serve the Lord and please the Lord, if you'll get to the place where you say, Lord, I just want to do what's right. I want you to lead me. Do you know what you do? You submit yourself to a loving Father. And when you submit yourself to a loving Father, God, like your Father, a perfect Father, He will lead you and guide you and direct you. And I'm just going to tell you something. I am absolutely confident if I live my life yielded to the Lord, willing to just do God's will with my life the best I know how, I am confident that God will protect me from making the wrong decision. I know it. I know it. God knows us, His children. And He will do what is necessary to His submissive children to make sure you get the message. If you've raised children, you know children are different. Some children, you can look at them just with a little stern look. They understand, they get it, and they submit, and they do what they're supposed to do. Other children are hard-headed and stubborn and rotten, and you have to stare at them, and you have to stare at them again, and then you have to speak to them, and then you have to speak loudly, and then you got to get the belt out and beat them half to death. You know, God knows you as His child, If you're hard hit hearing and slow learner, God is going to do what's necessary to get your attention if you want to do his will. And you know what you can do? You can rest in the fact you don't have to be afraid. Now, Nehemiah came to a point in his life where he was afraid. And he was tempted to be afraid, I should say. He was tempted to be afraid. And the tempter piles on the fear. And I'll show you what the Bible says in verse 10. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabeel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. Now, here's a different take. First of all, we have Sanballat and Tobiah. They come to Nehemiah, and they come like, we're all kind of important big wigs now. Let's have a meeting. And Nehemiah says, I'm doing a great work. I'm not coming off this wall. I'm not going to be distracted. They said, well, that didn't work. So they send a letter, and they said, let me tell you something. We're going to slander your name all over the kingdom and before the king. We're going to tell lies about you. And he would not be intimidated. And now we see a whole different story. There's this old man that's got some type of access to the temple. And the old man speaks to Nehemiah, and he says, Nehemiah, we need to go hide in the temple, in the inner court, behind the closed doors in the temple. We need to go hide. As a matter of fact, he was encouraging Nehemiah to go to a place he wasn't allowed to go. It was just a common man. He says, we got to hide. He says, because I hear there's people that want to kill you. They want to slay you. They will slay you. They will slay you. And Nehemiah, in verse number 11, says, should such a man as I flee? Should I run? The answer is no. And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save us? I will not go in. Let me tell you something. Nehemiah said, I'm not going to be scared into sinning. I'm not going to be scared into running. I'm not going to be scared into turning my back on the work that God has given me. Can you imagine how ridiculous it is to get scared to serve God? Now look, think about this for a minute. It's ridiculous to be afraid to serve the Lord. Now, it's not ridiculous to be afraid to do something that you want to do with your life. I mean, if you say, I don't really care what God wants, I want to be a lawyer, and you go off to law school, let me tell you something. If you turn your back on God and go to law, I'm not saying anything about wrong with being a lawyer, going to law, I'm just giving you an example. But if you say, I want to be a lawyer, I don't care what God wants, I want to be a lawyer, and you turn your back on God and you go off to law school and you get this education, let me tell you something, you have every reason and right to be afraid every day of your life, because you are doing something in your own power and you have forsaken the power and blessing that God wants to put on your life, and perhaps God wants you to be a lawyer. But if you turn your back on God, you have every right and reason to be afraid as you proceed and you pursue a career path or pursue a path in your life that is against God and God's will, that's not lived in submission to the Lord. But let me just remind you of this. If you say, Lord, I'll just do whatever you want me to do, and the best you know how, God leads you to be a lawyer and leads you to law school. Let me tell you something. If you're every day of your life, the best of your ability, determined to try to serve God with your life, you have no reason to be afraid. You have no reason to ever be afraid when you want to serve God with your life, because when you want to serve God with your life, God himself, who knows the beginning from the end, is going to help you and guide you and direct you. By all means, the safest, least fearful spot, securest place that any of us can be, is just doing the best we know how to serve the Lord. It's when we say, I don't really care about God and God's will. This is what I want to do. This is what I've always wanted to do. Let me tell you something. That's a dangerous place to be, plowing against God. Nehemiah said, look, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to sin against God in order to satisfy and alleviate my fears. I'm not going to turn my back on God. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to know that fear is not going to be the thing that keeps me from being what God has saved me to be. Nehemiah, he wasn't afraid. Here's what Nehemiah prays in verse 14. He says, "My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear." Nehemiah's prayer is kind of interesting. You can tell Nehemiah's heart's right with God. When our hearts aren't right with God, our enemies are aggravating us and we're angry at them. And we pray stuff like, "Lord, may fire fall from heaven and eat them up, lick them clean. Lord, would you send somebody, please, to smack my enemy? Lord, would you please send somebody to throat punch that guy that's giving me such a hard time?" Now look, Nehemiah, his prayer is one that I think is quite fascinating. He says, "God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat." You know, this is a man who's come to grips with the fact that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. He said, "Lord, you think on them and do whatever you want to with them. You take care of my enemy." He says, "I'm not going to be afraid. I'm so thankful." You know what he said? He said, "The work that God's given me to do is great. I will not come down." Let's conclude the chapter and the message. What happens? I think it's so exciting. No, Nehemiah, in spite of all the times that he's been tempted to stop the work, the Bible says in verse number 15, "So the wall was finished." So the wall was finished. In the 25th day of the month, Elul, the 52 days. In 52 days, the walls, Jerusalem, the job that hadn't been attempted for 100 years, the job that said no one said could be done, the job that earlier one of the enemies of Nehemiah had said, "If a fox runs across, it's going to fall down." In 52 days, the wall was completed. And what a work the Lord did. The Bible says it like this in verse 16, "It came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down." Look, all the enemies of Nehemiah, "Oh man, this is terrible." "They were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." Let me tell you something that happens in conclusion. When you say, "I'm not going to be distracted, intimidated, or afraid. I'm going to keep doing the work of God. I'm going to keep living for the glory of God." Here's what happens. Number one, the work will be accomplished. It's amazing the work that God will do through lives that are yielded to Him. It's awesome. The work will be accomplished. And more importantly than the work being accomplished is this wonderful truth: God will be glorified. It's amazing. All the enemies of Nehemiah are like, "Man, this is terrible. They actually got this job done." And it was so evident that it was a miraculous work and that God was in it that even the heathen had to acknowledge that God has done this great work. God was glorified. I know it's a wonderful thing when God is glorified with our lives. It's sweet. What happens next? I think it's very important to note in verse number 17, "Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah." Now look, there's this emphasis on these letters. Let me tell you something. There's a group of people who still were aggravated and fighting against Nehemiah. The enemy continues. Verse number 19, the very end of it. "Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear." Here's what happens. Nehemiah has a great victory. But the work of the Lord is something that's going to go on for the rest of our lives. Let me tell you something. All along the way, the enemy's going to rear his ugly head. But if you'll determine, like Nehemiah, to say, "Look, the work God has given me is great. I will not come down. I'll not be intimidated. I'll not be distracted. I'll not be afraid. I'm going to trust the Lord. The work will be accomplished. The Lord will be glorified. And the process will continue." And let me tell you something. All along the way, God's going to give you grace and strength and peace and joy. And it's sweet and wonderful to serve the Lord. Oh, I pray that you'll choose God's way. I pray your prayer will be the prayer of Nehemiah. "I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down." Let's pray.